Lord God, we thank you for the great privilege it is to hear from you. And we do ask, Lord, that you would give us your peace, give us your wisdom, your guidance, your direction. We want to hear from you. We want to respond in obedience to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our children are heading off to Children's Church. Sorry we didn't give you the heads up on that. I like the story about a businessman who decided to build a tavern in a small town that had a long history of being dry. A church that was in close proximity to this tavern was concerned about the impact this tavern could have on their community. So they gathered for an all-night prayer meeting and asked God to intervene. Shortly after the prayer meeting, the tavern was struck by lightning and burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that their prayers were responsible. However, the church countered by hiring their own lawyer to argue that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the details, stated, "No matter how this case is decided, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not." Prayer is the great privilege of every Christian. Through our prayers, we serve as God's assistants in this world. Our prayers build His kingdom. Our prayers advance His rule and His reign in our families and throughout the world. Our prayers make an everlasting impact. Through our prayers, we step into God's presence. We enjoy His company. We share what is on our hearts. We cry out to Him in our weakness, and we sit in silence that we might hear from Him. In 1855, Christian poet Joseph Scriven received news that his mother was very ill. He then wrote a poem for his mother in order to comfort her. He entitled the poem, "Pray Without Ceasing." A decade later, Charles Converse put music to the poem and renamed the poem, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." This great poem, now a beloved hymn, has this wonderful line, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Prayer is truly the great privilege of every Christian. The Apostle John fully understood this great privilege of prayer. And as he moves toward the close of this letter that we know as 1 John, he reminds believers of the great privilege of prayer. He knows that prayer will help them in a very tumultuous time when there has been this group that has left their church. So let's consider what John has written to this group of believers. And let's once again deeply appreciate the privilege of prayer. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at verses 13 to 15. You and I want a robust prayer life. Our times of prayer can lead to significant and surprising changes. For example, we may feel discouraged and beaten down, overwhelmed by the brokenness of life. And then we can sit and commune with God, and all of our thinking is reversed. We see our great blessings, we feel the warmth of God's love, and we find new delight in the life He has given. Or we can feel angry and embittered due to an injustice we have suffered. We may not even feel like praying, but simply know that we should. And so we pray. And as we pray, we also listen. And as we listen, God's truth fills our heart and our mind. The Spirit's conviction takes hold of us. Confession of sin easily flows from us. and we are clearly guided toward the next step we should take. Do understand that before there is a robust prayer life, there must be the early stages of learning prayer. Such early stages can be mechanical, sometimes confusing. But these less developed stages are necessary if we want our prayer life to grow and mature. Prayer is like most good habits. It's hard until it becomes easy. Follow as I read 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Let me highlight three principles, one from each verse. The first principle from verse 13 is this: prayer is a privilege because we believe in Jesus, who is God's Son. Prayer is a privilege because we believe in Jesus, who is God's Son. In verse 13, John makes it clear that he has written this letter so that his readers, including you and me, would know for certain that we have eternal life. A Christian should be confident that God's eternal life belongs to them. Living with this confidence is not presumptuous or arrogant. It is a confidence God wants us to have. Unfortunately, for the believers John has written to, their confidence has been shaken. As we have discovered in this letter, some members left this church and started promoting false ideas about Jesus and about sin. This has rattled the believers in this church, so John writes to reassure them that they do have eternal life. On what basis is John saying that we can have this confidence? In verse 13, John places special emphasis on the fact that Christians believe in the name of the Son of God. That phrase is emphasized. John has placed special emphasis on this specific phrase as the reason that we can be so confident that we have eternal life. So what is the meaning of this phrase? Why is it so significant? By writing in the name of the Son of God, John is emphasizing the qualities of Jesus and the authority of Jesus. That is, since Jesus is God in human flesh, then Jesus is more than a prophet or a teacher. He is someone who possesses the very power and wisdom and glory of God. And since Jesus is God in human flesh, then Jesus is the only one who has the capacity to pay for our sin. As God, Jesus is the only one who could take upon himself the great burden of sin, the sin of all the world, no matter what sin that sin may be. And as God, Jesus is the only one qualified to be a righteous sacrifice for sin. Jesus was sinless. John wants his readers, including you and me, to know for certain that eternal life is obtained through Jesus and only Jesus. And so Christians, those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, should be confident that they have God's life, His eternal life, because they believe in Jesus, who is the Son of God. Let me say it like this. In a courtyard in New York's Rockefeller Center, there is a bronze sculpture of Atlas, the ancient Greek Titan. Atlas is depicted as holding the world on his shoulders, a punishment he was given for leading a rebellion against the gods. In the sculpture, Atlas is portrayed as a mighty man with rippling muscles, but it is clear he is straining greatly with the burden of holding up the world. Travel across the street, and you can enter St. Patrick's Cathedral. In this beautiful cathedral, you will find a statue of Jesus as a young boy holding the world effortlessly in one hand. I like the contrast of these two images. Atlas has the strength to hold the world. Though it is clear he can do no more, and he may collapse at any moment. In the image of Jesus, we see the one who can easily hold all things. He can easily hold all things, for in him all things were created, and in him all things hold together. That is who Jesus is. Jesus is God's Son. He is the one we have put our hope in. He is the one and the only one who can give us life, eternal life. Look at verse 14. John writes, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." The second principle from verse 14 is this: prayer is a privilege because God is sovereign over all things. Prayer is a privilege because God is sovereign over all things. Once we have come to the realization that we believe in the name of the Son of God, we recognize the great privilege we then have to approach God in prayer. When John writes that we can approach God, he is telling us that we have a personal and friendly relationship with God. We have the kind of relationship that allows us to go to God and speak to Him face to face. Prayer is the great privilege of every Christian. We can go to God face to face. John then explains that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I believe two things should be understood about this phrase. First, we won't always ask for things that are in accordance with God's will, and so our prayers will not always be answered. The phrase begins with the word "if" to remind us that some of our prayers will be off target or outside of God's will. This should not surprise any of us. After all, we are limited in our understanding and easily seduced by all kinds of selfish motives. We don't see the big picture as God sees it, and so we cannot possibly consider all the potential ramifications of what we are asking. We do not know the hidden things that God is doing. But this should not discourage us from praying. Rather, it should encourage us to pray. You and I should be glad that God is in control of all things. Why would you and I want to pray to someone who was not in control of all things? Furthermore, if God were obligated to grant my every request, then my life would be a mess. And I would come to a place where I would be too afraid to pray ever again. I pray with great confidence, with great boldness, because I know God has a will that guides and directs all things. You and I should be glad for that. Our God is all powerful and in control of everything. A second thing we should understand about the phrase, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, is this. The more we learn of God's will, the more our prayers will mature. So if we want to see our prayer life rise to a greater level, we need to study. There is an intellectual development that is required. As you and I study God's word and listen to good teaching, we will understand more and more of God's will. And the more we understand God's will, the more effective our prayers will be. And so we should study Scripture, and we should sit under good teaching. We want to learn more about God. And so appreciate this about prayer. There is a rigorous study that is required, and there is an intimacy to be enjoyed. There is a thinking and a formulating of deep convictions, and there is an experience of God's warmth and gentle touch. There is a probing investigation in order to discover new ideas. And there is a sweet communion of being full of His peace, of His joy, of His love. So study about God, but also simply sit in His presence, knowing that He is with you. Prayer is a great privilege of every Christian. Let me put it like this. In a previous church, we had a pianist who played almost as well as Tony. Like Tony, she could step up to a piano and create amazing sounds instantly. Her fingers just went right toward those keys and boom, beautiful music came. I went to her once and said, "I wish I could play the piano like you." She said, "You can. All you have to do is practice like I have." It takes effort to develop a skill. We have to struggle through some early stages. But when we make the effort, beautiful music flows from our lives. Prayer is worth the effort. Prayer is worth the effort. You and I want a robust life of prayer. Look at verse 15. "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." The third principle from verse 15 is this: prayer is a privilege because God is always ready to listen to us. God is always ready. He's always ready to listen. In verse 15, John uses the big word, "if," once again. He writes, "if we know that He hears us." This indicates that sometimes we pray doubting that God listens. That's what the "if" indicates. We sometimes pray doubting that God listens. Or there could be a worse understanding. We pray without even considering whether God is listening. Because prayer is just a ritual for us, and all that matters is that we simply perform it. That we simply recite some words that we've learned. Instead of entering into prayer as a conversation with God, we simply recite some things that we know simply to fulfill our religious duty. John says, if we know that He hears us, you need to know that God hears. You need to believe that. You need to experience that. This is what the word "know" means. We experience the sense of God's presence and hearing us. If prayer is simply a ritual that we just quickly run through just to get it done, don't expect God to be listening to such a sham. Prayer is the great privilege of every Christian. It is an awesome thing that God hears us whatever we ask. When John adds "whatever we ask," he's letting us know that God considers. He hears. He takes it in whatever we ask. He will answer, though, according to his will, as John has already explained. So when we pray in accordance with God's will, we will have what we asked of him. When our prayer lines up with God's will have what we asked of him. Of course, if we never ask, we will never receive. And so it's very important that you and I deeply value going to God and asking. But we should recognize that God is always present and ready to hear our prayers. When it comes to praying according to God's will, a habit that may prove fruitful is to write out some of your favorite Bible verses on a 3x5 card. Maybe you write out a dozen, maybe you write out 100. But you sit down with that stack of your favorite verses, verses that are meaningful to you, and you read the first verse, and you allow that verse to speak to you, to stir in your heart some praise or thanks to God. Or as you look at that verse and read it again, you think of someone you can pray for that would be blessed by the truth that that verse is speaking of. This is one of the good habits that we can incorporate into our lives at times to encourage us to pray according to God's will. Learning of God, studying His Word, praying according to His Word is a good way to ensure that we'll be praying in accordance with God's will. The scripture verse can then guide our prayers. Using scripture is a great way to grow, and scripture is a good guide for what we should pray. But even in those times when we don't pray what is correct, our perspective on things can be really skewed. And even in those times when we are overwhelmed with the circumstances of our life, frustrated by a situation, or just absolutely off base on what we think should happen, even in those times, there can be still a very powerful time of prayer that we can have with God. Let me explain. Before I became pastor of this church, I started an investigative Bible study in this neighborhood. I simply wanted to introduce people to the good news about Jesus. There was one particular couple that came to this study who had two special needs children. During the course of this study, the wife asked Jesus to be her Savior. The husband would do so at a later time. The day after this wife asked Jesus into her heart, she took two of her two special needs children to be tested to find out what could be done for them. I prayed for this doctor visit. At this doctor visit, this mom was told the worst news possible. Her two children had an irreversible condition that would lead to an early death. My wife Becky received this news and passed it along to me before I could speak to this mom about this devastating news. So I went to God. And I said, God, why would you do this? Why would you give such devastating news to a mom who just gave her life to you? I was not happy with God. Later that day, I spoke with this mom. She said to me, I am so glad I asked Jesus into my heart before I heard this diagnosis. God is giving me so much peace and strength because He is now in my life. I was humbled. After that conversation, I went and spoke with God again. I told God that He knew how to run this universe better than me. And over the years, I've seen how God has continued to work in this family in spite of this great heartache. God is doing immeasurably more than could be asked or imagined because He is a great God. And he invites us to come and speak with him. Prayer is the great privilege of every Christian. And so I do strongly encourage all of you, wherever you are at in your stage of prayer, keep working at it. Keep growing in your understanding of who God is and how to pray more effectively. Let prayer be seen as the great privilege that it is. And remember the great words that come from that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The line that declares, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." That is the great privilege of every Christian. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you invite us to come and talk with you and hear from you. And we thank you that you listen and that you direct all things according to your will. What an honor and what a privilege it is to know you. Father God, help each of us to develop a greater and deeper prayer life. May we truly become a church known as a joyful place of prayer. Thank you for your presence in our lives and for hearing the things we pray. We say all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.